ability that does not allow us to truly appreciate what that hidden wisdom is. And oftentimes when we are confronted with adverse situations, people respond to those adverse situations in various different manners, various different ways. Sometimes people become and assume a victim mentality, and they start asking, okay, why did this happen to me? Or why is God giving this to me? Why did this not happen to that person or anyone else? It's the why me syndrome. Sometimes people come to adversity and they're completely crushed by it and they fall into depression. And what people fail to realize is that difficulty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting in a person's life is not necessarily just a test, and it's not necessarily just a challenge, but it's actually an opportunity. And it's an opportunity for growth. And if people can start finding the opportunities in the situations that they're confronted with every day, then they begin to understand a very different dimension of what it means for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be Ar-Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that He's constantly giving us chances to upgrade ourselves. Now think about it. If there's a student who's a very poor student, you give him one chance to take the exam, he fails it. You give him a second chance to take the exam, he fails it. You give him a third chance to take the exam, he fails it. Eventually you're like, that's it. You don't get a second try. The world just doesn't work like that. But our Allah is so merciful, and He is so kind, and He is so compassionate, that despite a lifetime full of failures, every single day He fills it up with new opportunities for us to pass and for us to get the upgrade. He doesn't necessarily, I mean, even though on occasion He'll hand out the upgrade for free, the general principle is that you have to earn the upgrade, right? You have to pass the test so that you can move on to the next level. And people are completely oblivious of this. And they're completely oblivious about what's going on in their situation. So let me give you an example about how our pious predecessors would see the opportunities in the situations that arise and take advantage of those opportunities. Now, who doesn't know the name of Imam Abu Hanifa, right? One of the greatest jurists in the history of Islam. Most of the world has followed his understanding of Islam when it comes to fiqh throughout the annals of Islam. You know, everyone knows Imam Abu Hanifa, but many people don't know about his neighbor. So Imam Abu Hanifa, wherever he used to live, right, I don't know if this was when he was in Kufa or somewhere else, but he had a neighbor, and his neighbor was not necessarily a righteous person. In fact, he was, you could say, the opposite, because he had a very bad habit, and he was addicted, he was a drunkard, and he would drink. And he would drink such that he, in his intoxication, he would say foolish things. And Imam Abu Hanifa could actually hear it, right? I mean, it wasn't like modern day where people are just, you know, 1 acre of land and people are like way away, far away from each other. I mean, this person is right next to you. And, you know, you start thinking, subhanAllah, just the dichotomy and the irony of one of the greatest jurists that would ever come in Islamic history, and his neighbor happens to be a person who's a drunkard. Well, that was the situation. And when he used to be intoxicated, he would make statements like, he said, people don't treat me properly, and the reason that they... Alhamdulillah. The reason that they don't treat me properly is they don't have any qadr of me. They don't know what my status is. You know this. That type of attitude. Very arrogant. And so it just so happened that, you know, in that time there used to be police that used to be patrol. And it was a criminal offense to be drinking. And so they came past his house and they found him that he was drunk. And he got arrested. So, and you know, he would make a commotion. So, you know, Imam Hanifa, he noticed after 3-4 days that there was no one next door making a commotion, that his neighbor next door, who typically made a commotion was not there. And so after 3-4 days, he got, you know, concerned. And then he asked about what happened to such and such an individual, and he found out that this person was arrested for drinking. Now the police, they knew the position of the great Imam Abu Hanifa, right? He wasn't like, even in that time, he was a man of great renown. And that was one of the things that really irked the police, is that, you know, they said that, you know, such a great scholar, and you have no adab, and you have, you know, no shame that you behave in such a way in the shadow of Imam Abu Hanifa. And so when he was imprisoned, I mean, think about how Imam Abu Hanifa could have reacted to that situation. It's actually not even an adverse situation. It's actually a very positive situation. He could have said that, subhanAllah, look, that person used to make so much commotion. I would be researching the books of hadith and reading about, you know, or I'd be, you know, going through the Quran, and I'd be standing in my prayer and conversing with Allah. And then this person next door would be making khalal, and he'd be talking all types of rubbish. And, you know, subhanAllah, I never even said one word to such an individual. I made so much sabr, and then eventually the fruit of the sabr has shown itself, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed this individual from my thing. You know, one of us could have easily fallen into the trap of thinking that we're something great, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, loved us so much that He removed this great thing and we had made so much sabr. But look at how Imam Abu Hanifa reacted to that situation. Not only did he not have some type of inflated sense of self-importance, imagine how much out of your way you would have to go to find out what actually happened to his neighbor. Right, that takes time, that takes research. I mean, he had to reschedule his day and his time to find out. And when he found out that he was actually in jail, he actually went to the jail and he spoke with the officers. And he said that, why did you, imprison him? They said, we imprisoned him. He was a drunk, and he was a drunkard, and he used to, you know, create taklif for you and difficulty for you. So we've imprisoned him. And he said, well, if I'm the reason that you imprisoned him, then take him out of prison, because I want him to let go. I want him to go home. And so, I mean, maybe the police were shocked, but then they, you know, complied and they let him go. So he went home, and then when he got home, Imam Abu Hanifa, he just asked him one question. He said that, look, all the time you used to say that people don't respect you, people don't know your value. He said, well, this day, at least know that I knew your value and I took you out. And when he said that, it touched his heart so deeply that someone cared that much about him. That he said, I make tawbah, and I'm not going to drink anymore. Right? In that moment, he changed his life. And so many times, right, this happens, that we have people sometimes who behave insolently. We have sometimes people who are in need. We have things, and it's inconvenient, right? So maybe someone comes in a situation of need, and it's inconvenient for us. We could look at it as an inconvenience, or we could look at an opportunity to really go out of our way. You know, you might have give the car to your son, and they're irresponsible, and they drove the car empty, and they got stuck somewhere, and they're like, Dad, I need a ride. Now, you could tell them, I've told you 100 times that fill up the gas, you don't have any sense, look, this is the only way you learn. I mean, you could go on a rant, or you can say, oh my God, you must be really, they already know. They know they should have filled up the gas. You don't need to stuff it down their throat. You could use that as an opportunity to say to them, oh my God, you're in so much difficulty, I'm coming right away. And it'll be done. And what the person wants, which is the person to become more responsible, that would also be achieved. And it was also an opportunity to show grace. And it's not, we don't always find opportunities to show grace. You don't, you know, sometimes people think that, why are people mean to me? Well, maybe it's a chance for Allah's giving you an opportunity to forgive. You know, why is it that, you know, I was working so, I mean, there might be a, you know, a sister very intent on her deen. She just wants to sit down for muraqabah, just wants to sit down for Quran. And so the kids, they're like, you know, like bats out of hell. They're, for whatever reason, they're super sharia. She's like, what type of creation of God are these kids? They're at each other's throats. They're making a ruckus. They're making, you know, he hit me. No, she started it. No, you started it. And it's all day just refereeing. And the mother gets more and more and more frustrated that, look, because of these kids, I don't even know why I had them. I don't even get any chance for muraqabah. So then, you know, you ask that person, why do you want to make muraqabah? Because I want to improve myself. I want to get closer to Allah. Well, how are you going to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I want to have the ma'iyya and be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, how do you do that? I have to, you know, correct my character. I have to become a person of taqwa. I have to become a person of sabr. So, and because of these kids, I can't. Well, you just missed the entire story, right? Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept your key to your sabr, not in your muraqabah, but is in those moments with your kids. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those people who do sabr. That sister completely missed the boat, right, with the situation. She's waiting for some type of, you know, mystical moment where she's sitting in muraqabah, and then some angel comes and confers the mantle of sabr on her. The mantle of sabr was, you know, waiting on the coattails of her children's bibs, right, and the chocolate that was smeared all over the floor. And the person would be from the sabirin. You know, there's another situation that just to illustrate, illustrate the same concept. There was they have some type of setup where they have like this public that comes to a type of court type of setting. And in that type of setting, that day, it's in India, right? So they had, you know, different people from the community that come. It's televised. It's like maybe like a big deal. And that day they had the Maulana on the stand, right? So he was sitting there, and, you know, a Hindu woman, she stands up and she starts going off on him and ripping him into him one way. And she's like, "No, you guys, your Maulanas have, you know, are controlling the Muslims." She's like, "Look, we as a nation have progressed to the point where we are free. We are a free nation. But you Maulanas, you know, ulama, have put control over these people. They don't know how to think for themselves. You suppress them. You create dissension and disunity in society. You know, you tell them to don't vote for Modi. They don't vote for Modi. You tell them to do this, they do that. And, you know, and just, and she's like, she said, "Well, you believe in the moon of Eid, and the Sikhs believe in this type of moon." So because, and after every statement that she makes, you know, there's a huge applause from the entire court, and everyone's cheering her on, you know, this champion of feminism and freedom and liberalism and secularism. And, you know, you don't know how it's going to turn out, because, you know, poor Maulana is just sitting there, and he has to respond to, you know, this very vicious attack. And, you know, these Sikhs have a moon. So are you going to say now that they have a moon and, you know, you guys have a moon, so you're not going to use the Eid moon anymore? I mean, it was sort of a very illogical, argument. But, you know, for some, it just catches with, you know, the general population and populace. So in any case, you know, she ends her rant with huge applause from the audience. And that was the Maulana's choice to speak, you know. And, you know, he could have, it's sort of infuriating when you just hear about the type of things she must have said. But the alim, subhanAllah, you could tell that he was a person of great taqwa and adab. And he said, and he started the whole discussion. He didn't say that you're wrong. He didn't say we don't control this. He didn't say that we're slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He just used this as an opportunity and completely disarmed her. He said, "You're entirely right." He said that we need to focus on unity, and we need to come together, and this is something that we really need to work on. And then he says that, you know, we really live in a time, he didn't say that you're wrong even once, he said, "We live in a time where the leaders are behind and people are running in front, where no one wants to listen to anybody." And so, you know, and as he approached it in a loving, soft, kind manner, making jokes, all of that anger, right? And he said, "Oh, you made 10 points." He said, "You should become a school teacher. You're really good at this." And then, you know, that person themselves started smiling and becoming happy. And slowly, slowly, he used this opportunity that Allah SWT had given to really show the da'wah and the beauty of our deen and to show good akhlaq. And so, you know, these type of things will happen. Some people will come and provoke you about your deen. People will come and say foolish things. You know, our spouses might say things that are distasteful to us. We find things out from our friends that they did something to us. We find out from family members that they cheated us in financial transactions. But we can use that and react to that, or we can see what's actually happening from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side in those type of situations. What is the subtle opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us in those type of things? It might be a chance. If people didn't do bad to us, if someone didn't wrong you, you could never forgive. If you never got angry, or no, someone didn't do something angry that would make you angry, you would never get a chance to control your anger. If a person didn't have better than you, you would never have a chance to counter the feeling of hasad that arises in the heart. If you weren't given attention and, you know, put down in society, even when you're deserving of something, you wouldn't have an opportunity to really look at your niyyah and purify your niyyah. There's so many things that happen on a daily basis that if we recalculate the way we think about those things, it can drastically and immensely, number one, increase our appreciation for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah in our lives, and number two, allow us to really benefit from those opportunities so that we really make the big pass in the akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.